Good evening. It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. Dallas is getting its first female police chief, but Renee Hall says her gender doesn't matter. She says she's going to do the best she can to improve the department. She takes over for former Chief David Brown, who retired last fall. Hall talked with KERA today. She praised Brown for leading the department's response following last summer's ambush that left five officers dead.
There's no planning that you can do for that. You know, no matter how many years of policing you have under your belt, I don't think you can ever prepare for such a tragedy. But I think that he was very noble in his approach, and I just commend him on the way he handled it.
Hall arrives in Dallas in September. She comes from Detroit, where she's deputy police chief. You can hear more of our Friday conversation with the incoming police chief. That's tomorrow morning at 8:22 during Morning Edition. This summer, high school and junior high students are gathering at Southern Methodist University for week-long engineering camps. The high schoolers have to create electronic items like an alarm clock or home burglary system, only they have to make them smaller, cheaper, and faster than what's out there. KERA's Bill Zeeble caught up with some high schoolers who took on the challenge.
Everyone's deadline busy in SMU's makerspace, the Decent Innovation Gym. With the clock ticking, Conrad High School 17-year-old Chan Hin and his three teammates are building their own unusual alarm clock.
The battery life is way longer and it's also louder than your phone. Some people are sleepy-headed, you know.
Hin's on one of four teams of high school boys here to learn real engineering through hands-on experience. London Morris from Lancaster High explains why their clock's an improvement.
We're human, so we end up messing up and making mistakes. I will forget to charge my phone throughout the night, so my phone goes dead and I don't hear my alarm, I oversleep. I have an alarm clock right there to wake me up. That's why we built this alarm.
These boys, all awake now, are here for a week. There's an all-girls camp, too. This boys' camp is free. It's based on family income. Some other weekly camps come with tuition. No matter which camp, all kids have to show they can handle it through grades and teacher recommendations. Teens learn to solder, program small Raspberry Pi computers, use a laser cutter, 3D printer, and code, which few have ever done. Recent SMU engineering grad Parker Holloway came up with the curriculum after working his undergraduate summers here teaching kids. He wants to spark passion.
Because if you go and you sit in an engineering class and you listen to theory for 4 years, then you're going to enter the workforce and you're going to have a job that you don't love.
Instead, he says, get involved as a student, solving real-life challenges like a real working engineer would in a working lab.
Then you can start your job after 4 years, and it's something that you are looking forward to.
It works, says Heather Hankamer, who runs the program designed to put students on the college engineering track. She's followed kids from these programs for 6 years.
For this program in particular, 55% of the kids get a higher education in engineering.
Woodrow Wilson High School's Joshua Revelis is thinking along those lines. He's already on his school's robotics team. His team for this camp is developing a safe with an internal electronic lock. Their prototype is made of composite wood and plastic parts from the shop's laser cutter and 3D printer.
Unless if you're hitting that thing with a nuke, it won't be broken open. The lock mechanism is what we find interesting because you could unlock it through a phone, but not only would you have to unlock the person's phone to get into it, the app itself would have a password that only you would know because they would not save it on your phone.
Saving a life is the idea behind the project DeMonte Roberts' team is working on. He sits by the laser printer that's cutting a case for a disability monitor they hope will catch irregular heartbeats. The Cedar Hill Collegiate High student is glad he caught this summer camp.
I don't get bored easily with a lot of stuff. Like, if I'm good at something, I don't want to do it no more. But I'm creative and I like to build stuff, so this is the place for me.
Not a bad option for a summer week in Dallas. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Drugs, immigration, and gangs. That's all we seem to hear about from the Texas-Mexico border. A couple of North Texas artists are hoping to change that. In our artist spotlight, Art and Seek's Hadi Mawagdi looks at how two young women are using art to change perspectives.
Naturally dyed cloth, woven nets, cactus skeletons, and hog guts. Those are just a few of the materials that fiber artists Sarita Westrup and Annalise Minjares work with. They create stone-simple, hand-woven sculptures and installations inspired by the region.
We think a lot about ideas of landscape, identity, and bicultural aesthetics on the border.
That's Westrup, who lives in Oak Cliff. She and Minjares have been creative partners for 3 years. They create work that pushes against the expectations of art from the borderland. They don't want to be told what is or what isn't Chicana art.
We work to provide something that you didn't notice, to show this nuance, this layered idea of what a Mexican-American region can be like.
Together, they work under the moniker Tierra Firme, which translates as solid ground. The pair has woven tapestries made from donated national park uniforms, tapestries featuring landscapes from West Texas. They've produced map-like installations of the land along the Rio Grande, using spices, dirt, rocks, and macrame. Most recently, they've fabricated artificial portals that audiences walk through. The portals recreate a migrant's path to America. Minjares, who lives in Denton, says there's more to life on the border than Narcos and the wall.
We're also very interested in celebrating this region. For us, it's not a negative, it's more than a positive. It gives you an experience where your perspective is wide.
Minjares is from El Paso. Westrup's from the other end of the border, nearly 800 miles away in McAllen. Geographically, the cities are vastly different. El Paso's an arid desert with mountains. McAllen? Not so much.
We have palm tree oases mixed with cactus, mixed with bougainvilleas, plumerias. So there's this like tropical colors and flowers right next to desert.
One of the things these communities share with the artists that they've bred is a dual identity. They are Mexican and American. Minjares says that duality is key to their art.
We like to have two perspectives in Tierra Firme because we are showcasing a perspective that's shared of the border region, not just like my border or Sarah's border.
They understand that their individual perspectives don't represent the masses.
There are a lot of different types of Mexicans, a lot of different types of Mexican Americans. What looks authentic to one could not be authentic to somebody else, because each person's experience is different. As we work, we keep that in mind.
Westrup and Minjares aren't only visual artists. They're educators.
So I'm going to show you guys how to make an ink, and then Annalise is going.
We value education. That's how you learn about culture. And so we're teaching you an art technique, but we have a conceptual lesson as well, and it always pulls back to the border.
They've taught everywhere, from El Paso to North Carolina. Minjares' specialties are net making, using plants to create inks for watercolors, and macrame. Westrup teaches basketry, twining, and weaving.
I teach surface design with natural dyes, and I really like to focus on the Oaxacan tradition of using marigold flowers, cochineal, and indigo to create the rainbow.
These two daughters of the border met in Denton at the University of North Texas, and they've put down roots in DFW, which has allowed them to become a name in the North Texas art scene. But for each of them, the border will always be solid ground. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
These two artists have a new show at Kirk Hopper Fine Art in Dallas. Visit artandseek.org to see a video about how they turn a bug into paint. A heat advisory is in effect for Dallas-Fort Worth and much of North Texas through Saturday night. The National Weather Service says heat index values could exceed 105 degrees. It's 99 degrees right now in Dallas. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.